Our scripture this morning and my message today follow upon the previous two scriptures and my messages from 1 Corinthians 12. So for the sake of those of you who weren't here on those two previous occasions or can't remember what in the world the scripture or my message was on those occasions, it's review time. There were some members of the church in Corinth who believed that they were more spiritual than everyone else. So Paul writes to them because he does not want them to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. And he informs that everyone who believes in Christ does so because of the Holy Spirit in them, and says that the Holy Spirit gifts each one of us for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Then he goes on to say that there is a diversity of these gifts. These gifts are given in order that some aspect of our life is graced by God's Spirit, which we then use to serve Christ and which God uses to build up God's church and to permeate the world with the gospel. But the way in which each of our lives is graced by the Holy Spirit is different. And so there is a diversity of gifts in the body of Christ, but together by the Holy Spirit, we have a union, a unity among our diversity. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Each of us has a gift. Each of those gifts is indispensable to the work of the body of Christ. And together we are the body of Christ. We are a sign, foretaste, and conduit of the transforming grace of God in the world as the body of Christ, using in our unity the diversity of the giftedness with which the grace of God has gifted us. And all of this being said, Paul goes on, there is one element in the life of the church and in the life of each believer that is more important than anything else that he has said up to this point. And that element is love. Whereas our giftedness and our diversity are givens, God just makes us that way, gifts us and makes us diverse. That's a given. Love, however, is something that we choose. It is something that we choose to do or we choose not to do. So at the end of the 12th chapter, is after he's talked about the giftedness of the Spirit and the diversity of the gifts within the unity of the body of Christ, Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. And then comes 1 Corinthians 13, our scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most beautiful and beloved portions of Scripture. In fact, it is probably one of the most beautiful and most beloved pieces of literature anywhere. It is hard to know what more can be said after just reading it. It usually stands on its own. It's sometimes been called a hymn of love, or it's been called God's love song. I've read it at numerous weddings, and I'm sure you have heard it in that context as well. When I was a Boy Scout, which was a long time ago, one of the requirements for earning the Religion and Life badge was to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, which I did, and which still comes back to me on occasion. In the context of Paul's message to the Corinthians, this is a continuation of his argument against those who are creating cliques and divisions in the Corinthian church. He begins by identifying the spiritual gifts that were the bragging points of those causing divisiveness and strife: speaking in tongues, spiritual knowledge, and prophecy. And to this list, he adds charitable giving and self-sacrifice. All of these things, he says, speaking in tongues, spiritual knowledge, prophecy, charitable giving, and self-sacrifice are admirable and wonderful gifts. But in themselves, they do not permeate the world with the gospel or contribute to the building up of the body of Christ unless they are accompanied with love. Otherwise, they are totally useless. He then proceeds to describe the nature of love. He doesn't describe love as a feeling that we have. Rather, he says what love does and what love does not do. There are some things, he says, that love does, and there are some things that love does not do. A person who loves, for example, shows patience, is kind, is not jealous, doesn't brag, or get full of itself, or in my part of the country would say is big feeling. Love does not treat others unfairly. It's not selfish, doesn't easily get angry or plot evil against others. It doesn't celebrate others' failings or misfortunes. Rather, it celebrates when things are right, when things work out well, or when things are true. Love never loses faith. It never ceases to hope and endures through hardship and opposition. Paul returns next to the contrast between love and the gifts of ministry. He says that spiritual gifts have a ministry purpose for the present, but love is what endures forever. Love is the one thing that goes on and on and on and on and will never end. All these gifts that right now we think are so important will one day come to an end in the presence of God. Prophecy, for example, or preaching, the revelation of the mind of God, which we take so seriously and rightly so, will one day vanish in the presence of God because we will know God completely. And tongues, ecstatic utterances, this almost being beside ourselves with the excitement of the holy within us, as vital and as important as that can be, one day it will be no more because we will be in the presence of God. And knowledge about God, theology, which we can take so seriously and which is important, will be no more one day in the presence of God. The day will come, says Paul, when our limited understanding of God will be complete in the totality of God. And that totality of God is love that goes on and on and on. Love never ends. It is something, he says, like the contrast between childhood and adulthood. To focus exclusively on the gifts that are meant for present ministry, as important as they are, and to neglect to love is childish. To recognize the supremacy and the eternity of love, he says, is to grow up, is to become an adult. The gifts of ministry are for the present only and vital to the work of the body of Christ. But what he says continues into eternity is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because love is the very nature of God. That love that we know, of which Paul is speaking, proceeds from God through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit into the church and into our lives. It is love that unites God's people under the lordship of Jesus. Love is the very essence of the character of God. Love is at the heart of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Love is possible by the work of the Holy Spirit in us and among us. Love, he says, is more than just being nice to one another. The love that God has shown us in Christ has the power to transform us in the likeness of Christ and to unite us as the body of Christ. This church, as the body of Christ, has a unique role to play in the city of Edmonton and beyond. gifted, diverse, and full of love. It is a community of alternative values to the community around it, as every church is in every community. It's interesting, I think, to contrast this community where love prevails to a popular culture where nastiness and humiliation prevail. A while ago, there was an article in the New York Times by Carol Ann Marling of the University of Minnesota. She commented on the reality shows that her students watch as compared to the kinds of dramas on television that she and her generation grew up on and still follow. I can identify with that. I really don't like these reality shows and like the old ones better, but that's my age, I guess. But then she went on to say this. These reality shows are about watching ordinary, albeit cute in a swimsuit, people sweat, fret, scream, scheme, eat bugs, and diss one another in nastily amazing ways. And she believes that reality television may be symptomatic of a broader trend toward cultural nastiness that has crept up on us. People seem to enjoy watching others being humiliated, which is one reason I don't enjoy so-called reality shows. This produces, she says, a climate of bad behavior and insensitivity. Nasty television, she says, produces nasty audiences. Contrast that picture to the one Paul gives to us of the church. In this community of faith, love prevails. Love does not humiliate, degrade, and debase. Love encourages, supports, and builds up. The rabbis told a story. In time before time began, there were two brothers who shared a farm together and a mill. Each night they would divide the grain that they had milled during the day between their two barns. One of the brothers lived alone and was single. The other brother was married and had a large family. One day the brother who was single and who lived by himself said to himself, "You know, it is not right that I have the same amount of grain as my brother. My brother has a large family to look after. I only have myself." So at night, that brother would take some of the grain from his bin and take it over and put it in the bin of his brother. The brother who was married and had a large family said to himself one day, "You know, it is not right that I should have the same amount of grain as my brother. I have my family to take care of me, but my brother has no one to take care of him." So at night, the brother with the large family would take some of the grain from his barn and take it over and put it in the barn of his brother. And mysteriously, the grain in both these barns was replenished every morning. And then one night, as the two brothers were taking the grain from their barn to put in the barn of the others, they met. And when they met, they realized what each had been doing, and they embraced each other in love. And the rabbi said that it was on that spot that God decided to build the temple. Because where people embrace one another in love, that is a holy place. When we live together in love, that place becomes holy. May this church and every church be such a holy place. Because loving churches produce loving people. And loving people produce loving homes, loving neighborhoods, loving cities, loving schools, loving places of work, and a loving world community. Gifted, diverse, and full of love. That's Paul's kind of church. That's my kind of church. That's our kind of church, your kind of church, everybody's kind of church, because that's God's kind of church, gifted, diverse, and full of love. And that kind of church can change this kind of world. Let us pray. Our loving God, help us to hear the words of Paul speaking to us about your wonderful creation, the body of Christ. And may we experience truly what it is to be gifted, diverse, and full of love. May you make it so. And may we be your willing servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.